Many say youth will save the world. Well, in this comic, that's exactly what happens, after they royally mess it up in the first place, of course. This week, we discuss Young Avengers, a 15-issue comic run written by Kieran Gillen about gay teens having a time.
Welcome to In Media Lies, a podcast about queer relationships in media. I'm Chloe.
And I'm Val.
And today we will be discussing the 2013 Volume 2 of the Young Avengers, written by Kieran Gillen and illustrated by Jamie McElvey. This Young Avengers is technically a sequel to a previous volume that came out. So there had been a few Young Avengers volumes that came out prior to this. I believe the first one started in like the mid-2000s, but it was a different creative team that was, you know, behind it. And so what happened is in 2013, Kieran Gillen and Jamie McElvey took over as part of something called like Marvel Now. That was when they were, Marvel was trying to kind of do more hip young superheroes, I believe, and kind of get rid of some of the baggage of some of the characters, although I feel like this one is all about baggage. Like so many of the characters start like Loki is a kid, Novar and Hawkeye, and this is Kate Bishop Hawkeye, are hooking up, America Chavez is up to something, Wiccan and Hulkling are living together. You know, like, it's all just, like, there's all this stuff that would clearly happen in the background, even though it's a new series, but they're all in kind of weird places. So, yeah, I've kind of listed off all the characters. Some of those might be familiar to people now. America Chavez appeared in the most recent Doctor Strange movie, but
she
others...
did? That's neat. I haven't seen a Marvel movie in, like, years.
Yeah, so technically, I think she's the first. Okay, so they didn't talk about her sexuality at all, but she's gay, and like I think she's the first.
She mentions it a couple of times, like hints.
No, I meant in the Doctor Strange movie.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay, no, she doesn't hint about it in this. She talks about it openly. Did you finish it?
I did. Yeah, in the end, she's like, you know, but like throughout it, we didn't find out until like the very last.
I don't know about that, Val. I don't think you maybe caught up on some of the stuff she said then, because she's pretty open about her sexuality throughout.
It's a lot of comments like, I don't play for that team, things like that, you know, but there's only a handful of them. And that makes sense because it's not part of her story here.
Right.
But I wouldn't say it was super obvious.
I don't know. I think it's pretty obvious.
Maybe because you're familiar, like me as a person who doesn't read a lot of DC comics and keeps up with them, if I didn't know that already, I wouldn't have found out until like the last third of the comics.
But there's some characters that people maybe don't know. There's Novar, who used to be Marvel Boy, and he's just like an alien warrior. Loki is a kid for reasons that are not explored. Kate Bishop Hawkeye has appeared in the MCU. Hulkling is actually a Skrull, which the Skrull have appeared in the MCU. So he's a shapeshifter. I don't know why he went by Hulkling. There's some backstory there. And Wiccan is actually also part of the MCU, kind of. He's Wanda Maximoff's son through Vision that was created through a kind of manipulation of probabilities and actually shouldn't exist, something like that. There's this whole thing about him. Anyway, so it's about them forming a superhero team. The antagonist is an interdimensional parasite called Mother, who can basically take control of adults or not. I don't know. It's hard to say how her power exactly works.
I wasn't entirely sure because she didn't replace them. They were still themselves. But they were like goopy versions of themselves. I don't quite get it, but I don't need to. It made comic book sense.
Yeah. I mean, and she's also has some like meta powers. Like there's definitely one issue that starts with her actually destroying the comics panels.
Yeah, that was fun sequence. Happens a few times, and then like it becomes a bigger part of the story. But yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, so there's some cool moments. Like you can totally tell Gillen and McElvey are playing with the idea of like comics, and the space between the panels is a very common medium for them to explore. And there's several panels or pages that are laid out in weird ways. It's not the traditional, I don't know, like, I feel like a lot of comic books follow that, like, the 9-panel model, but they do a lot of weird stuff. There's that one where they do the fight where it's a circle, and then with the individual panels around it, there's some stuff like that that happens.
There's a series of pages where they have, like, a chase with a spaceship, and they're all very diagonal.
Yep.
I like the dynamics they have in the art and just the movement of things that are happening. I actually forgot that it was Gillen.
Yeah.
And halfway through, I'm like, why does this feel like such a familiar type of writing? And then in the next issue, I actually like paid attention to it. I'm like, oh, okay, I got it. Yeah, it's definitely, there's a lot of die in here.
And Wicked plus the Divine.
I haven't read that yet.
You're missing out. I think he actually finished this and basically started Wictive immediately after, or even while working on this as well, because I think that timeline-wise, that's kind of what it works out to. The first question that I always wonder about, because I've read this volume multiple times now over the years, probably like 5 or 6 times. I always wonder, because, okay, so in the last issue, spoiler warning, they basically talk about how every one of the Young Avengers is queer. It's like a very particular moment where it's just like, yeah, every single one of these superheroes is queer. It's canon. It felt like Kieran Gillen was just saying to Marvel, like, I'm going to make them all queer. You can't stop me. They're all queer now. And it was, I don't know, it just seemed really funny that it all just comes out all at once over like the course of like 2 pages in the last issue.
Yeah, I guess kind of, but like for most of them, we already knew on the page canonically. So in some sense, it is a very nice like closing paragraph, I would say, but it didn't feel like, so for example, with Legend of Korra, we had Kurosami at the very end, right?
Yeah.
And then with things like Adventure Time, we had Marceline and Bumblegum get together in the very end, right? So we were kind of strung along for that entire time, and we finally got that payoff. This, it wasn't so much that.
No, there was we already payoff. Had,
yeah, because we already knew that all of them, except for, oh god, names, Alien Boy, Navar. Yeah. All except for him were very obvious. Well, maybe all except for him and Kate.
Hawkeye, yeah.
But yeah, like, it wasn't that, you know, he said, Marvel, you can't stop me, and I'm doing this, and there's nothing you can do, and it's the last page of the last issue. It wasn't necessarily like that. It was more just like, this is what I have been doing, and now here's a big exclamation point.
I completely disagree. I think he very purposefully did this to do it, because I feel like it's done in my mind in a very forced way. It's done in a way that I think he's saying like no take backsies. To me, that's what's going on here.
I guess it would make sense in like the history of comics,
especially this is 2013, 2014. You know, this is 8-9 years ago. This is not, you know, Kurosami hasn't happened yet. And this is a younger audience targeted Avengers story.
I guess it is 2013. Huh.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so that does change the context of it for me.
Yes.
Because, huh, okay, interesting. Then, yeah, it definitely shifts it. Because for me, like, I just read it, right? So for me, it's like a very new thing. And I guess it's how you consume your media and the environment you're in. But that is special. When was Die released? I forget.
Like 2020.
Okay, yeah, so it's interesting. I would say that this is slightly more queer than Dai, even though, like, a lot of Dai was entirely built on it.
I think, yeah. I mean, the story really revolves around Wiccan and Hulkling's relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So our young star-crossed lovers. And so, you know, like, in that sense, you know, this whole thing is about the fact that Wiccan tried to do something nice for Hulkling to bring back Hulkling's mother, and that brings in the parasite. And then Hulkling is spending the entire comic series basically struggling with the idea that his boyfriend is a reality warper and could be warping reality without knowing it to bring the two of them together.
Yeah.
And therefore, there's a whole question of, like, I don't know, it's an interesting question of, like, consent. Like,
mm-hmm.
if you're changing reality slightly, and Hulkling eventually, you know, kind of talks with someone and kind of talks it out and realizes, like, no, this is just what it is. But, like, I don't know, it's an interesting question of, like, if you're around someone who just by their presence is warping reality, as if you've watched WandaVision, you know, that is a power the Scarlet Witch has.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, how can you ever trust them?
Yeah. And when so much of it is to do with emotion.
Yes.
And also we have it with Navarre and his spit. Kate kind of makes a joke about it at one point because he lets her know that, like, hey, I have mind-controlling spit, just so you know. And yeah. She's like, yeah, well, my body is also mind-controlling. Don't worry about it. I really like the different amount of trust that these characters have for each other and how it's reflected. Like, Kate has complete trust in her boyfriend.
Even though she shouldn't.
even though he doesn't necessarily deserve it. But she does, because she, you know, she thinks they're in this perfect relationship. He's a great guy, and she's just confident that
he's not a great guy, though.
From her perspective, he is. But from ours, we find out that he is, in fact, a teenager.
I don't even know if Kate believes he's a great guy.
What makes you say that?
I don't think she's that invested in the relationship. I think she sees it as something fun, is what's clear to me. But, like, it's never quite, it never seems like she's putting that much stock into it.
I would disagree. I don't think she finds it extremely serious, for sure. Yeah. But throughout the whole time, there's a lot of trust she puts in him. And she gets extremely hurt when she finds out that he actually is talking to his ex, and he breaks up with her over that ex.
Yeah.
And it really hurts her. So even if it wasn't a serious relationship, she put complete trust in him.
I just disagree with the word complete. I don't see it.
So, I mean, there are different, in terms of the relationship, that was complete. She didn't question his loyalties.
It just sounds to me like, I don't know, like, from the way she's introduced in the relationship of Novar, from the narration that's presented in those panels, to me, it's like something that she doesn't see as fully real. She sees it as kind of like a nice dream for a while, but she's not so invested that this is a long-term serious relationship.
I don't think she thinks it's a dream. Like, she's excited for it. It's not that serious, for sure. But there is complete trust in him. Like, she doesn't question it. She's so hurt by it at the end. When she finds out, she's like, oh, I guess I should have known. It makes sense. But, like, what the heck, right? But I wouldn't say it was soul-crushingly awful, terrible, like she thought they were soulmates or anything. It's just like a relationship, right? They were together for the duration of this comic, and they've been through a lot. And the first time we see her kind of, like, question it is after he betrays her. She hasn't even once doubted that relationship. She's not necessarily ready for, you know, marriage, but even if it's not as serious as it could have been, I don't think that me saying that she had complete trust in him is too off base. Like, it doesn't have to be, like, substantial trust, right? But it's still trust.
I don't know. I just didn't see it as that serious as you did, apparently.
No, I don't think it's serious. That's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't have to be a serious relationship.
It starts with her not even knowing his name, and they hook
up. Yeah, and that's funny. And, like, it kind of keeps that way, too. Like, she's not thinking about her future. She's more concerned with aging out and becoming manipulated by the spell. Like, that's the thing she's the most worried about.
Yeah.
So the relationship is not the problem.
Well, she doesn't even know how old he is.
Yeah, because it's not that serious.
Okay.
But so she didn't ever have a concern that he was, like, cheating on her. She trusted that relationship, no matter how
frivolous. I don't know what argument you're making here anymore, to be honest.
You're saying that, like, she didn't trust them completely.
I'm saying that this was not that serious of a relationship for her. This was a fling, and she was still hurt by it, sure. But you said she completely trusted him, and I don't think that's true at all. I think in some ways, from the way she even introduces him and at the very start, she always knew that this was going to end with one of them getting hurt, and it was probably going to be her. And she was okay with that, because that's what she was looking for.
I didn't see that in the comment. Like, I didn't see that in the writing. Maybe I missed it. It just seemed like it was a thing. She wasn't concerned with it.
But you just said she was devastated by it.
No, it hurt her feelings at the end. She's not, like, the end where she is talking to him at the after party, whatever.
Yeah.
She is not happy. Like, sure. She's in a bad mood. And we haven't seen her in this bad a mood or even this emotional throughout the entirety of the run.
Right.
That's the closest true. Was when she was worried that she was pregnant, which she wasn't, because she said she's been taking all these tests and they were all negative, and it's her 21st birthday and she's worried that she's going to become like an adult, whatever. Like, that's the closest, but even that wasn't as emotional as the after party scene.
Sure. I will say it was emotional. I don't think she was devastated, as you said.
Okay. That's fine. Agree to disagree.
Okay. I also think that you made kind of a small point in that is something that I thought was interesting, which is that
just the tiniest of points.
It's a side point. I think that, like, this series definitely played some favorites with which characters it thought were more interesting to follow. Like, Novar, I feel like at a certain point does not get a ton of attention, nor does Hawkeye. I think it's really focused on Wiccan, Loki, in America. I think they're, like, the three main characters, even though there's other young Avengers. And then when Prodigy joins,
America is not that huge in the comic. Like, she's very much a side character.
She starts off more part of it and then drifts out, partially, I think, because she's too powerful to have her too present, because she's kind of got powers that can overpower a lot of the other people very easily. So they have to, like, kind of put her down to the background.
Yeah, I felt more that Loki and Wiccan and Hulkling are definitely the top three. Like, they're the main ones. And then Prodigy kind of, like, makes his way into the narrative pretty heavily. Like, he takes over pretty quickly after he's introduced.
Yeah.
But the others, they're just kind of, like, there.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like, I didn't want more of Navarre or anything like that. I wasn't, like, super interested in what he had to say a lot of times.
No, he's the most boring of all of them. I think we can agree on that. He's the worst of them.
He's fine. He's just, like, a guy who likes music and dating around.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot. Rank them.
Rank them?
Rank the Young Avengers.
Loki.
Best. Okay.
America.
Okay.
Just because she's cool.
Yep.
Kate.
Okay.
I forgot who the characters
were. Wiccan, Hulkling, Prodigy, Novar are remaining.
Prodigy, Hulkling, then Novar, and then...
Wiccan. Why did you put Wiccan last?
He annoyed me so much.
Why?
I don't know. He's just, like, an annoying character.
You have to say more than that.
I don't know. It felt like he's like the kid that everyone else is dragging along and making him do things. He was very not proactive. Even though it's all his fault, he never once was like, I have to fix this. He was like, oh no, everything's broken, how do I fix it? And then everyone else had to kind of like get together and do the thing. And that annoyed me so much. Like, Loki was like, I'm gonna teach you. He was like, okay. And then when his boyfriend got left behind or lost or for the first time, he was like, oh, we have to get him back. Someone help me. And then the others had to basically do all the work. I don't know. He was just like, he felt like such an anchor to the team. I didn't like him as a character.
And you don't mean anchor in the positive keeping them together
sense. No, dragging them down sense.
Okay. A dead weight.
Yeah. Billy's the boyfriend, right?
Billy is Wiccan.
Who's the boyfriend?
Hulkling?
Yeah, but what's his name?
Teddy.
Teddy. Like, Teddy did most of the work. And he mentions that in the beginning, too. Billy is all, like, upset and sad and doesn't want a hero anymore. And he's mad at Teddy. And Teddy's like, bro, you have a good family and a good life and you have everything. And I do everything for you. And when you're sad, I'm always here to support you. And then the one time that, like, you don't even know what's happening in my life. I'm all alone. And I don't even have the space to share that. I can't be sad because I am someone who's propping you up. And he says that in the very first issue, I think. Or the second issue when, like, was it first or second? Whatever. Like, when Teddy gets caught superheroing and Billy gets angry at him. And I don't know, I did not like that from the beginning, and then it just didn't get better.
Interesting.
How would you rank them?
I mean, okay, keep in mind I've read other stuff with them, and so I feel like this biases my results, but I'm going to try and stick to their depiction.
I'm super aware of that.
Loki.
Uh-huh, of course, yes.
Hawkeye.
Okay.
America.
Uh-huh.
Wiccan. Hulkling, Novar.
Okay, so not too different from
mine. Prodigy would probably be fourth.
I think similar. Yeah. Yeah, so we have the same vibe.
Yeah, I think, but I'm not quite so down on Wiccan. I think he's struggling with a lot. His power is scary. I can see, like, Hulkling just gets to transform into people. Wiccan is like, I could potentially rewrite the laws of the entire universe and destroy everything.
That's so can be a Loki in a sense.
No.
And Loki has a much better arc here. Wiccan doesn't have an arc, pretty much. He's just like, oh, I'm sad. Oh no, my plan to make my boyfriend not sad backfired.
He becomes a little more... Oh, my boyfriend
broke up with me.
He has an arc. He accepts his powers. He has that moment where he channels his abilities to becoming all powerful for a moment.
But all of, okay, did you notice that in that battle where he has to do that?
Yeah.
He's always very far and in the background and we don't know what's happening with him. He's just like there while everyone else is doing things. And then the next time we actually see him interacting is when Teddy goes to find him in his little void dimension where he is being depressive again. Like, during that whole fight with the parasite, he's just in the background. He doesn't even say anything after he starts transforming into a super powerful Wiccan. Which is, I don't know why they did that. For someone who's supposed to be a main character, they really gave him very little agency. Maybe in the other comics he does more stuff, but I just wasn't a fan. I wanted him to do something and not just, like, try to kill himself two or three times to solve things easily. And Loki being like, you can't do that, my guy. That's not going to solve things.
I'm confused, though, because there's the panels where he, like, transcends the comic. Like, that's when he becomes the demiurge for a moment.
Where he walks around and, like, says, oh, I can alter all of this, but I don't want to. It's too much. And, like, kind of calms down. Like, that was really interesting. But the entire battle leading up to that, because he didn't transform all the way.
On purpose, because he knew he wasn't ready for it.
But that's the thing, right? That was the problem during that fight. They couldn't finish off the villain because he was either unable to or he was hesitating or whatever it was. he was having difficulty transforming into his most powerful form. But during that fight, he was in the background, and all the characters were having conversations, were, you know, having some sort of growth. They were doing stuff, and then he was just kind of there. And then for him, it was just that one spread. I don't know, something about it was just like, I just didn't like his character, his writing here.
Fair enough.
I found it very similar to Loki's. I wasn't aware of that in the beginning, because we don't know what Loki is going through, right?
Yeah.
But in the end, when
Leah.
In the end, when Leah turns out to be the figment of his guilt and missing power, right? Like, in hindsight, Loki was pretty much going through the same thing that Wiccan was, but from a more informed position.
Yeah.
And that was so much more interesting because, first of all, there's the internal conflict, right? Then there is the consequences of the external conflict, which we didn't realize was still that internal one. But there was that push and pull. There was a lot of him denying it. There was a lot of times where he was trying to escape it and do something to fix it or get rid of it so he didn't have to see it. Like, that is dynamic. That is interesting. With Wiccan, he just kind of moped around the whole time. And I wanted so much more from him. He's so powerful. He's so interesting. And, like, I didn't even get that much, like, queer themes from him. Teddy did all the work from that end.
And Prodigy.
But Prodigy is just living his best life right now. He finally left that bad job. And he's just, like, hanging out. It's great.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems to me like you really didn't like this.
There are so many scenes where I was, like, so excited. I like this comic a lot.
Okay. Doesn't feel like that.
I can be critical of art I consume and like.
Fair enough.
We were very mean about Life is Strange.
That's true. And I love that game. That is true.
I think maybe just the fact that this is not something that is close to my heart, right? It's just a really, really cool comic.
I think also the perspective is very different. As someone who read it when it was coming out.
Yeah, there definitely wasn't.
There was nothing like this back then where, like, it was like an all-queer superhero group that was in Marvel. Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah, when you just told me this and, like, I conceptualized it in the timeline, it is amazing. It's really cool. But, like, as someone who read it right now, it's an interesting and fun story, and there are a lot of very fun things in it. First of all, like, all the different dimensions.
Yeah.
I like how this isn't, like, a 1,000-issue run where they actually do go through all of those dimensions. I never once felt like I was lacking information, even though there's so much lore that's creeping in from everywhere. Like, I didn't need to know any of that stuff. It's fine as a standalone, and I appreciate that. And the art is beautiful, and I really liked Kate's story near the end. It was compelling, just like the way that she talked about her fear. It was one page, literally. She was just like, it's going to be my birthday soon. I'm going to turn 21. And every time she mentioned her birthday before, now had such a new look to it. Like, this is something she's been worrying about for many issues. We just didn't know it. We thought she was just, like, making a metaphor, because she keeps saying metaphor over, like, everything. And it's just really fun. I liked this comic. I just don't necessarily like the main character. I thought that they dropped the ball on him.
Fair enough.
Prodigy? Like, what a cool concept.
Yes. Especially because he doesn't have powers.
Yeah, there's no powers. He also is... Was he like Magneto's lieutenant or something?
It was something like that. He was like... Yeah, he was the head of the youth group for like a mutant supremacist organization.
Yeah, so, like, that's interesting.
Yes.
Especially since he still helps out villains.
What?
The job he was at?
He was helping out heroes.
Wait, isn't Elektra a hero? I thought it was both villains and heroes.
Elektra is, like, an anti-hero villain assassin, depending on...
The only time I came across her was in the Ben Affleck Daredevil movie. And there she was, like, not a villain, so I guess that's what I had. So I thought he was working at a call center. Why did you watch
the Ben Affleck Daredevil movie?
Because it's great, Chloe.
Okay. So this is the end of the podcast. Thank you for tuning in.
Regardless, I thought Elektra was one of the, like, gray heroes. So I thought it was a call center for both sides.
I have no idea.
But it could be still. Because, yeah, like, I guess. One call was, like, disarming a bomb. And another was, like, how do I defeat this person? And I don't know. It was just, like, a really, really fun concept. And Loki being conflicted was great. Although I did feel, even though I loved where he ended up,
yeah,
being back in his, like, grown-up body, quote-unquote, I do miss his kid self. I thought he needed to be stuck in it forever as punishment, because he kind of deserves it in a fun way. But as, like, from a writing perspective, it was an excellent way for him to finish his arc.
Yeah. And Loki, you know, as he mentions, is a story. And so I think it makes sense for him to always kind of revert back into his default story form at a certain point.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was excellent. But at the same time, like, I really liked seeing his, like, little runt self getting, like, punted around by everyone.
Yeah.
And being, like, and being mischievous.
I love, there's one alternate universe they go to where Loki sees himself on the throne and Thor dead at his feet, and Loki's also dead, and he's crying.
Yeah. That was such a powerful panel. Oh my God. Yes.
Cuz you realize that, like, he's very aware of the fact that he's there to be kind of the villain, but he's not supposed to win.
Yes.
And he knows that.
That panel is so clear in my mind. It was such a good one. I'm glad you brought it up, because, like, oof, goosebumps.
Yeah.
Okay. Who was your favorite villain?
I don't know if he's a villain. The creepy patriot guy.
TikTok. That was interesting. Yeah.
He was just predicting the rise of TikTok. Oh, no one knew it. He was he's trying to get Prodigy. He's like, invest in TikTok, man. It's gonna blow up soon. You'll make a lot of money.
Oh man, I hate that was a good joke.
You just hate the fact that you didn't get to make it.
I'm punned out, man. The last couple of days were just insane.
And then there's, what's her name, Oubliette.
I don't know. Oubliette.
She's so weird, like this weird bondage outfit. I don't know what to think of her.
That's fair. I just like that she was like, you can both be rivals and also, like, bang the guy. Can I say that? And also sleep with the guy. It was just very funny. It was a very girl boss moment. Okay.
I know she's one of Novar's, like, classic villains, I guess is why she's in it, but, like, she just, I don't know, I've seen her in other things, she just always sticks out like a sore thumb, because she's just in, like, full bondage gear. And it's never really explained why she dresses like that, I don't think, at least in none of the stuff I've seen it, and sometimes they call her the exterminator. It's just like, this was someone's fetish. And why is this in this Young Avengers that's maybe targeted towards a younger audience? I have no idea. Anyway, who was your favorite villain?
Oh my God, Leah.
Okay. Does Leah count as a villain? I don't know. Again, it's like, it's one of those,
Loki's own internalized guilt.
Yeah.
She's kind of like an anti-villain. She is, it's not Timmy, Toby, Teddy. It's Teddy. She's Teddy's therapist.
Like, that therapy scene is weird as heck.
It felt very, it felt very trippy. I liked it, though.
It's just the jealous exes having a therapy session, and then Leah's there for some reason.
Yeah, but it kind of fit. I didn't mind it.
Yeah.
It was a little out of nowhere, but I wasn't like, okay.
Had any criticism, my main one would be that this series is very breathless in a lot of ways. Like, it always feels, and you know, you mentioned that, like, they didn't spend, they didn't belabor the point of these other dimensions and like spend an issue on each dimension or whatnot, which I think is a good thing. But also stuff like that, like the therapy group could have, I feel like if that had been given more time, that might have been helpful. And just like Leah, I think could have used a little more screen time.
Yeah, I wanted her to be there in every panel.
Because everyone meets her and Loki's just like, oh yeah, I screwed her over. And then they all leave. And it's just like, I don't know, I just wanted her to have more presence.
Yeah, especially after we find out that she's not even really there. Because now the only thing I'm stuck thinking is, oh my god, she is in the like beginning of time, stuck there forever. That is awful. Why don't they go save her?
Yeah.
Yeah. But Gillen does this a lot. I think we've said that about every single one of his comics that we talked. Was it just Die? There were two. Maybe we didn't talk about a second one on the pod, but...
I'm trying to remember. There's Wictive. What else has he done? He did Uber, but we're never going to talk about Uber. We can't. That's way too outside the scope of this podcast. I'm looking through our list of episodes. Did we do anything else that he wrote?
We talked about Phonogram, but you mentioned it.
I've mentioned Phonogram. It's not very queer, though. So again, it's not something necessarily that we'd ever cover. Mm-hmm. No, I think we've just done...
It was just that.
Die.
Yeah, but Die also had that similar pacing thing where it was a sprint.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that, but I agree. I could have used a little more of the therapy scene. That could have been fun. Especially because, like, it's all these people that feel that they were wronged by the heroes.
Yeah.
And that's always a fun thing. But the fact that they were all exes was a little weird. But because this is a very queer comic, it kind of makes sense in a way. But it was still a little weird. Yeah.
And I think if they had, okay, so it's, you know, like 15 issues. And they're not very long issues. I think they're like 20-page issues. Yeah. So they really had...
When you said quick read, I was like, oh, okay. But no, it's a quick read.
Yeah, you can read all 15 issues in like an hour, depending on how much you like to stare at the art. I don't know. It's just like, I wish they had 5 more issues or so just to flesh things out. Give Hawkeye America a little more screen time, too.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I wish, because like America, I feel like you know nothing about her. Her mom show up being like, or well, parasite versions of her mom's. And then, like, her whole backstory is explained in a flashback in one of the last issues.
Yeah. And which is weird. And it's competing with everyone else's, like, closing moment.
And I know kind of why they did that, because America was a very new hero at the time. And, again, it's just, we gotta situate things in, like, the Marvel world of 2013, where, like, you know, they hadn't introduced all these kind of lesser-known characters that they have now. Like, Marvel of 2013 was still focused on, like, the big three of, like, Iron Man, Captain America, Spider-Man. Like, it was very... I mean, the Avengers movie had come out a couple of years before, but it was still, like, they hadn't gotten really experimental, like... People were even just like, wow, they're doing a Doctor Strange movie. Like, they're really, you know, branching out there. They're doing some heroes that people don't normally talk about. And now I feel like Doctor Strange seems tame, especially that the MCU is introducing characters like Miss Marvel and America Chavez. And so, but America Chavez was pretty new at this point. And I think that's why she didn't get very much screen time. And Hawkeye, I don't know, like, there's always been the whole joke was just that when they introduced her was that, like, oh, this is Hawkeye. She's also Hawkeye, like Hawkeye. Mm-hmm. And, like, kind of just that, like, that's a little confusing that they both use the name Hawkeye. And I think people disliked her so much that they kept doing it. And that joke was so funny that they kept doing it.
Have you seen the new Hawkeye?
Yes, with her. Yeah.
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 I heard great things. I just
watched it.
But I don't know. I'm just... Marvel shows exhaust me.
There's so many of them now. So that's the thing that's happening is kind of just this exhaustion. And I feel like the issue that they're having now... Okay, we're kind of getting off topic. But I feel like this is related. is that, like, the thing that was charming about Young Avengers, this comic book series, was that it's telling a very different story than, like, if you had gone and picked up the Avengers comics of the time. They're doing their own thing with its own themes and its own style and its own narrative. And Young Avengers is doing its own thing. And they're very separate in terms of a lot of different aspects. Whereas I think the issue of a lot of the modern Marvel stuff is that they're introducing these lesser known characters and they're worried about, like, okay, well, we're introducing a Muslim superhero from New Jersey. So let's just play it really safe with the story since the character's experimental. Mm-hmm. And so every single one of those stories is the same story in all the TV shows. It's like, I'm the plucky young person following in the footsteps of a more established Avenger. Now I'm an Avenger too. Oh, I've got a bad guy. I defeated the bad guy, and now I'm a big deal, and I'm going to be a superhero. And they, like, aside from WandaVision, which was cool because it was so experimental, although it fell into the same thing too, where it was kind of like, oh, you know, like, Wanda's having a mental breakdown, but also they're still a villain. Like, they, it's like, why? You don't always have to have someone to defeat. And it's just like, I'd like to see a superhero story. It's, okay, I'm going to compare this to something very out there. I'm sorry, I'm getting on my soapbox now, Val. So no, apologies.
Stand up on there.
Okay. So, did you ever play any of the Dragon Age games?
I have started the first one. I kept glitching out during one of the early missions, and I couldn't get past it, and I gave up.
Fair enough. They are very glitchy games, so I'm not surprised. So, Dragon Age 1 and 3 both have, like, very conventional villains. You know, like, the first one has the invasion by the Darkspawn. The third one has I don't want to spoil it, but there's a villain in the third one. The second game, however, doesn't really have a main villain. Instead, it's kind of like a rags to riches, kind of like coming to a new land and learning how to accept your new homeland kind of story. Like, it's a very, like, focused on personal growth, relationships, family, in the backdrop of this city that's also going through some very dramatic social changes as a result of the events of the first game. So basically, like, your character is a refugee from the events of the first game. They come into the city, and it's all about them trying to make it there in the city as the city changes as a result of that, the events of the first game. So, you know, like, it's, there's no main villain. There's no character you can point out and say, like, yeah, that's the villain. I mean, they kind of do have a big epic boss battle at the end, but it's like a very, like, I don't know, again, it feels shoehorned. And it's just like, just let, and it's the same thing with superhero movies. That's what I'm connecting it to. It's like, just, it's okay to tell a story where there isn't a main villain or where the villain is a very minor thing.
And especially short form.
And the focus should be on personal growth. Yeah. And that's my issue with Marvel as it presently is, because WandaVision did it. They introduced a villain in, like, the second to last episode who was secretly there, like, puppet mastering things. And it's just like, you didn't have to do this. This could just be a focus on how Wanda is grieving. Like, why do we have to have a villain?
Tell you, I think I actually, so I watched most of it.
Yeah.
And now that you say that, that might have been the reason why I didn't finish it. Because I finished it on the episode where the villain was introduced. And then I didn't watch anymore. I lost interest, like, immediately. And I couldn't tell. I was just like, maybe I ran out of time. Maybe I'll get back to it. But no, I think it's what you're saying. I didn't care anymore.
Because it cheapens it somehow. And I think that's my problem with modern Marvel. Is that they're introducing these experimental characters. Like, America Chavez does not have an arch enemy. It's not like, you know, she's not, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of someone like Novar with Oblet or whatever her name is, or Loki and Thor. Like, there is no, like, nemesis. And I feel like if you're going to introduce America Chavez, you should have it focused on a lot of different intersections of her identities, right? Because she's Hispanic and she's in the United States. She's an interdimensional refugee. She's got two moms. She's gay. You know, she's a very non-traditional superhero. Why can't it just be focused on that? But, like, if there's an America Chavez series, I bet they're going to be like, here's the villain that you have to defeat, America. And then once you do, congrats, you're a superhero for real now. And it's just, like, tired. Anyway.
Yeah.
Coming back to Young Avengers, because we're almost done.
Actually, sorry to interrupt. No, sorry. On that same wavelength, Marvel is exhausting. However, I have been having a lot of fun watching some DC movies that have been coming out lately.
Okay.
Suicide Squad was great.
Yeah.
Yes. They had another one, and I think Black Adam is coming out right now, and just the concept is very interesting.
Black Adam did not get good reviews, though.
It did not. I've only seen the trailer, but I like that thing they're doing because they do have to distinguish themselves somehow. So they went the villain route, and I dig it. Suicide Squad was so fun.
You mean the Suicide Squad, right?
Yeah. No, yeah. The first one. The new one, I hate it. Of course.
Okay. Just making sure there's Suicide Squad and the Suicide Squad. So it's just got to be clear.
I do like, because superhero stuff is just so prevalent, that whenever someone mentions it, I think I have, like, I don't like having this, but I just have, like, this reaction where it's like, don't tell me about it. I do not care. And it's very aggressive.
Yeah.
And I think just it's because it's so such a saturated market, and I'm so tired of it.
Yeah, especially we need to bring back cowboys. Yeah. That's going to be nice. We're done with superheroes. I am announcing it is the time of the cowboy.
Which, by the way, remember Dreadnought? The main character's love interest? She reminds me a lot of America, and she was a cowboy.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Chloe, what do you think of this series? Because this episode has just been me telling you what I think about it.
Well, and then I did pick an argument with you, but it's surprising. It's one of my favorites. It's like a comfort read for me. It's got its problems, and it's very short, and I wish there were more of it, and I wish some of the characters I like got more screen time, although they do in West Coast Avengers, which is kind of, in my mind, kind of an unofficial sequel. Plus, it adds Gwenpool, which I'm guessing you maybe have never heard of. Unless Gwenpool? You're a big Gwenpool.
Of course I've heard of her. Come on.
You have?
Yeah, I'm on Tumblr.
Okay. Oh, true. Okay. Well, for people who don't know, she's like Gwen Stacy, but she's from the real world and ended up in the comics, and she knows their comics. And so she's
like Deadpool. They keep doing this with Gwen. Spider like Gwen, Gwenpool. Yeah.
Spider Gwen is another one of my favorites. I mean, like, I'm sitting in front of a poster of Spider Gwen sitting on a 7 train right now. So
that one is a good comic.
I don't think
I finished, but I enjoyed it a lot.
Spider Gwen is great. I love her too. There's some other people in the West Coast Avengers who are also great. So it serves really nicely as kind of an unofficial sequel. Oh, and that's the one with the land shark.
Which is, that's the...
What's his name? Oh, I'm forgetting his name. The land shark. There's a shark with legs. Who's very cute.
And that's not DC. That's different.
This is West Coast Avengers.
Okay, gotcha. All right. I'm back on track.
Hold on, what's his name?
Oh, he looks Jeffrey. Like the IKEA shark, right? Like a really small, plushy looking guy.
Kind of. I sent you a picture.
Yes, I think in one of my other Discords, a friend of mine posted some panel from Deadpool where it was, what is the shark from IKEA called?
Like I know
Baja, which Baja, whatever.
Blage.
Blage. Like. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, would this be the shark? Probably, whatever. That's adorable.
Yeah. Anyway, so, any final thoughts?
No, it was very fun. I liked it. The art was awesome. Gillen did it again.
I love everything Gillen's done. I just wish he would do more. But I know he's only one man. Thank you all so much for tuning in. I just want to mention our social media. Our Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest are @InMediaLez. Our subreddit is r/inmedialez. Our website is inmedialez.com, and you can email us at inmedialez@gmail.com. Our Tumblr is
thepodinmedialez.tumblr.com.
Yes, and have you been posting there lately?
I have been.
So let's see what's on the front page. Top 20 characters in the locked tomb who might agree to officiate my wedding.
Yeah. Isn't that a wonderful post?
It is a wonderful post. I don't know if I would want anyone from the locked tomb to officiate my wedding personally, because I feel like it would end in kind of a mess. And not a fun kind of mess, but just kind of a big mess of calcium and bone. You know, if you have to choose one, you have to choose one. Or 20.
20, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you all so much.
And we'll see you in the next one, or maybe a different dimension.
God bless. Mother bless.